The world before the flood. If everything in God's works looks to us so beautiful, and the majestic mountains and towering stern old rocks have attractions, how far exceeding it in beauty, in grandeur and loveliness, was the world before the flood, which was destroyed because of man's sinfulness. God has surrounded them with the precious things of earth because he loved them. But these blessings were turned into a curse, and they used the precious things of earth to gratify their pride and to glorify themselves until the Lord destroyed them and the earth which was defiled by their violence and corrupting works. We come to scenery that appears to our senses as indescribably grand. Mountain peaks rise above mountain peaks, the massive, curiously splendid shaped rocks that were heaved up by mighty agencies and sculptured by the storms of ages. The bare, naked crags, rough hewn. Then there comes a little tableland high between jutting rocks. The great God has reared his mighty structures in the granite rocks, in the towering mountains, in clefts, in the gulches, in the gorges, and in the castle rocks and the caves of the earth, and with these surroundings of evidences of God's power. We trace in unmistakable tokens the handiwork of the great architect. There is beauty in the valley's awful grandeur, in the solemn, massive, cleft rocks, there is majesty in the towering mountains that look as if they touch the heavens. There are the lofty trees with their delicately formed leaves, the spires of grass, the opening bud and blossoming flower, the forest trees, and every living thing, they all point the mind to the great and living God. Every faculty of our being testifies that there is a living God, and we may learn the most precious lessons from the open book of nature in regard to the Lord of heaven. In this study, the mind expands, is elevated and uplifted, and becomes hungry to know more of God and his majesty. We have awakened in our hearts feelings not only of reverence and awe, but of love, of faith, of trust and entire dependence upon one who is the giver of all good. And as I look at his marvelous works and see the evidences of his power, I instinctively inquire, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him?" All the greatness and glory of these wonderful things in God's house can only be appreciated as they are connected in the mind or associated with God, and the future home of bliss he is preparing for those who love him. The precious things of the lasting hills we enjoy, but these will be as nothing compared with the glories that shall be awarded to the worshippers of the true God.